Welcome inside episode 672 of the Locked On Senators podcast. I'm Ross Levitan on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Alongside Brandon Pillar up in the Blue Mountains on a game day, the Sens are hosting the Buffalo Sabres, but no Craig Anderson?
Huh? And it's a Wednesday episode, so you know we got a Sens Central citizen. He hopped on at the last moment. It's Ibrahim.
And he did a great job. Really looking forward to you hearing that. And DJ Smith did what with the lines? That coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Senators podcast. It's your team every day.
Your Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators Podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators Podcast.
Thank you for making Locked On Senators your first listen on this Wednesday, November 16th. The show is free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube, where the best way you can help the show grow is to like every video by clicking the thumbs up and subscribing to the Locked On Senators channel. Be a friend, tell a friend. The show keeps growing, even though the losses keep piling up. Pilsy, this is a big one for the Ottawa Senators tonight, and DJ Smith has elected to switch up his middle six.
Yeah, very interesting line changes here, but Ross, I know we've said this before, maybe we're getting a little too crazy with the must wins, but the hockey gods could not align this as a more opportune moment for the Sens to win. You got the Buffalo Sabres, division rivals, kind of like the Sens cousins right now. You know, they're trying to rebuild. They got young talent up in the NHL. The prospects are developed. So we really, really need to have this all come together. They've lost six straight games, the Buffalo Sabres have. They're on the second half of a back-to-back. Last night was Craig Anderson. So we're not having Craig Anderson this game. And the Ottawa Senators are at home this game. They were on the road in the other game. So I know it sounds crazy, but we're declaring this a must-win game.
It's a must-win game for the Ottawa Senators. And if this is the definition, we've been having some fun with the whole must-win talk. And yeah, we've seen your comments. Maybe we're being a little much, but let's recap. The home opener, must-win. We were there. Of course we're going to label it that. And then if you can't beat Arizona on the first Saturday of the year, things could have fallen apart. Yep. We're feeling good about that. I can't recall what the next one was, but anyways, the last two that we've declared.
I think, was it the Canucks?
Batherson declared the Canucks one a must.
No, Batherson declared the Jersey one.
Oh, right. Well, they got a point. But no, Buffalo's the team ahead of them in the Atlantic Division. Like you said, kind of cousins in the rebuild, not Dylan Cousins. But when you're looking at what this Buffalo Sabres team has, they're building from the back end. And the Senators are hoping that they can add to the back end. No Artem Zub yet, but he's getting closer. This team is shorthanded. Jake Sanderson already played 25 minutes, but let's talk about that middle six. Because right now, and I put out a poll, I'm going to pull it up in just a moment. DeBrincat, Brassard, and Joseph are a line, and that leaves Pinto with Mott and Batherson. When you saw that, what's your immediate reaction?
Kind of one of these faces, like, but, I mean, you gotta do something. And, like, when you have a guy like Alex DeBrincat not really clicking, when you have a guy like Matthew Joseph not really clicking, and you're tied for last place in the league, you can try to fiddle around with things, even if they may not seem like ideal situations, because the ideal situations weren't working. So although I don't love it, I think it's a good time to try to make a change. And who knows, maybe this pops off, because we knew the Ottawa Senators were going to have a strong top six. But when your top six is the only one performing and you're not getting that bottom six boost. I mean, Shane Pinto has been scoring a lot of goals in that third line, but other than that, it hasn't really boosted. I think it warrants a change. And you know what? I'm willing to give it a chance. I'm not negative on this. I'm not positive. I'm neutral on this. Let's give it a chance here.
Well, who's your second line?
For me, I voted with the top one, Ross, because Brassard and DeBrincat were a part of that second line mostly. And I think a lot of people are saying, what's up with this Batherson demotion? I'm not really looking this as much as a demotion as it is a change. And it gives DJ Smith an opportunity to roll three lines a little bit more consistently here.
Yes, I think that's fair. And we'll get into our locked on players, our lookout players. But this, the big story is, who's going to play more between these two lines and who's going to step up? Because Mathieu Joseph has been a shell of what we saw at the end of last season when he was point per game through his final 12. I know 8 of those points came against Detroit, but still, he was playing really well and he looked good playing with good players. He was up there with Norris and Tkachuk for a portion of the end of last season. But Batherson got a goal against the Islanders, the 5-on-3 goal. Hopefully he can get rolling because he's been a little invisible. And that's not what you want to see of maybe the most talented player on the team in terms of individual skill right now. And yeah, Timmy's going to pass him, but right now, you look at what he can do with the puck on his stick. He needs to do it more consistently. I just wonder what Tyler Motte's going to bring to that line.
Well, I actually think people are being a little bit too down on my guy, Tyler Motte. Sure, he popped off to start the season, and he was a point-per-game guy 7 games in. But that's not why he's here. Like, and I reference this a bunch of times. He's kind of your Zach Hyman on this line. I know Pinto and Batherson aren't exactly Marner and Matthews, but he's the guy that's going to go into those dirty areas. He's going to win those puck battles. He's going to have the defensive presence a little bit more, and he's going to start the plays that Pinto and Batherson hopefully will finish. So I actually don't mind it here. Like, honestly, I like the Mott Pinto Batherson line a lot more than I like the DeBrincat Brassard Joseph line.
And so do the fans. Still plenty of time to vote at Send Central on Twitter. But who do you think is the second line? Who's going to play more at 5-on-5? We'll talk about it in the postcast coming up after tonight's game. Pilsy and I will both be there, and you might even get LaMartian as well. But I'm going to be curious at the 5-on-5 ice time and if this is going to last. Because if you're Alex DeBrincat, you sign here, and it's Tim Stützle and Claude Giroux. Those are going to be your line mates. Well, guess what? Brady Tkachuk is the leading scorer on this team, the captain, the heartbeat, and he is playing very well with those two guys up top. And the guy who he's been attached at the hip with since getting to Ottawa is out long term. So Brady Tkachuk now needs a new centerman. You got to give him Timmy. I like the protection factor as well with Timmy. You saw after he took a hit last week or a week and a half ago, maybe the Minnesota game where Brady then dropped the gloves. Was it with Dumba? Anyways, he got in a fight after that hit. Made sure to stand up for his teammates. So I like that. I like that top line. I like that they're not touching it. Hell, Giroux's on a 9-game point streak. But if I'm Alex DeBrincat, I'm looking around and I'm like, what are we doing? I'm producing shots. I'm producing chances. These guys aren't going to help me finish.
Easy answer. If I'm DJ Smith and DeBrincat comes to my office and says that, I say, well, 2 of your goals are on the power play in the same game. One of them's an empty netter. We brought you in here to score goals. It's not working. We're trying something different.
Yeah, I guess there's not a whole lot of options down the middle too, eh, Pills?
Well, when you're one of your top two centermen and Josh Norris is out, that's what happens, unfortunately. And look, I have a lot of faith in Tim Stützle and Shane Pinto, and Brassard was brought in as an emergency guy. I don't think they were expecting him to play a full 82 games, or not 82, but around 82 games this year. So they're making do with what they've got, unfortunately, with Derek Brassard here.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens tonight. The Senators are hosting the Buffalo Sabres. I'm disappointed that Craig Anderson is not starting. He deserves a proper send-off. But he deserves a proper send-off in Ottawa.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, we're reaching back into the well from, what, 3 years ago now? So, I get it, but this is a must-win game, Ross. Give me Eric Comrie.
We must get Eric Comrie, who's playing against the Senators for the first time. This is a 7 o'clock Eastern puck drop at the Canadian Tire Center. And the Buffalo Sabres, was it the last time they were at the CTC? Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, but that 5-0 win, Tyler Ennis hat-trick.
I think it was. Yeah.
So, can we call this a revenge game of sorts for Drake Batherson?
I mean, no Arundel, and I think the Buffalo Sabres players kind of disowned Arundel. Like, there was no one sticking up for him, let's just say that, and he was promptly not brought back to the organization. So, Yes and no, because I don't blame the Buffalo Sabres for that. That's solely on Aaron Dell. Like, that is a garbage decision by him to do that. So I don't have any ill will towards the Sabres, and I'm not sure if Drake Batherson would either.
They are a fun team to watch. We'll have our lookout player locked on and keys to victory coming up after our Send Central Citizen Pilsy. Quick note as well, Pierre Dorion doubling down on his admiration, I'll call it, for DJ Smith, saying coaching has not been the issue with this team. That was after the GM meetings yesterday in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand that. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, kiss of death, doubling down, he's extra confident. I don't think so. I think truly this is a GM and a coach that have a good relationship. And Dorion said it. Like, if you look at these games, they're close. And I know, before you hop all over me, I know close doesn't count when you're in dead last and you're losing every game by one. It doesn't matter how close you are when that's the result. But you need to practice patience here. Pilsy preaching patience, that unfortunately that's what you got to do. It's a long season. To make harsh, quick judgments just for the sake of change like that when it's your head coach isn't always the best avenue here.
Well, patience is running thin with RFA Alex Formanton. We are exactly 2 weeks away from the deadline where something's got to give. Like, we have to get some sort of news.
Anything's going to give. I think it's just, we're just going to roll into December 1st, and that's that. Yep.
I mean, his agent's probably got something to say about that. Yeah. It's one of those. Nothing new has come out.
I have no reason to think otherwise, Ross, right?
Yeah, well, he scored a goal in that 5-0 win against Buffalo last January. And when you look at the middle six of this team, Alex Formanton, the hockey player, could help right now.
Big time. I mean, you put him on that third line and then move Mott down to the fourth line. That's a major improvement.
And we're looking at a fourth line that played awful against the Islanders and hasn't really made an impact since that.
Other than Casty, yeah.
That initial homestand, even since, like, Casty's been okay, but after that initial homestand, and you knew it was unsustainable, this guy was like top two in the NHL in faceoffs. He was hitting everything. He was even scoring a little bit. He had two goals. That fourth line, it needs a shakeup of some sort, and some momentum would be good. If you're going to drop the gloves, create momentum, at least hit everything. They're just chasing the play as a fourth line. So you're right. Like, having a middle six guy like Alex Formanton, the hockey player, would certainly help that. But that'll be a story. We'll carry on. When new information comes out, we'll keep you posted. Again, he is the only RFA unsigned right now in the National Hockey League. All right, let's get to our Send Central Citizen. Pilsy, you got a word from one of our favorite sponsors.
Yes, I do. And it's one of my favorite sponsors specifically, because when I'm looking for a nice, tasty treat, yeah, I want to go for those candy bars, but why not have a candy bar that is delicious also? You guys know what I'm talking about. It's Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And why I love Built Bar over other competitions is some of these protein bars, you can tell they're protein bars. They don't taste great. They're so dense. They're hard to chew. You need a fork and knife to get through them. The flavors are terrible. Nuh-uh. Not Built Bar. They find out a way to make it delicious. Then they say, hey, how do we make this healthy as well? Perfect example, the Built Puffs. It's a candy bar covered in chocolate with marshmallow inside. Yeah, that can't be healthy. Wrong. It's protein-infused marshmallow. It's healthy. It's got lots of protein and fiber and not a lot of calories and not a lot of sugar. It is delicious. And my favorite thing about Built Bar is they're a fun company. Every time there's seasonal changes, they're coming up with new flavors. Ross, listen to these three flavors we got. We got Candy Cane Brownie. That's an original Built Bar. Then we got Candy Cane Brownie Puff. So mixing candy canes with brownies and marshmallows. You love that. And then a final third seasonal one, white chocolate peppermint granola bar. Yes, they got granola bars too. So if that doesn't tickle your fancy, they have so many other flavors to try. And we recommend getting the mix box because you're going to love all these flavors. I promise you. And buy them at built.com and then hide them. So your roommates, your partners, your family, so they don't get them, because you're going to want them all for yourself. And there's an easy way to do that. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order. One more time, guys, head to built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15 and get 15% off your next order. It's Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar.
All right, let's get to this week's Send Central Citizen. It's Ibrahim. All right, we now welcome on this week's Sens Central Citizen. It's that underscore Sens fan. You can follow him on Twitter at that underscore Sens fan 24. Ibrahim, welcome to Locked On Senators. How are you doing today?
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Man, we appreciate you. Where are we talking to you from right now?
Yeah, I'm out here in Ottawa, local guy. So, yeah, amazing.
Near the rink, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm a drive. I'm not a walk away. I'm not as, but yeah, I'm definitely a drive, 5 to 10 minute drive away. So really, I get a lot of games boots on the ground, as our boy Marshall would say.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not many people are a walk away from the CTC, unfortunately. Yeah. But hey, Ibrahim, so we got to start this off like we start off every Sens Central segment. How'd you become a Sens fan?
Yeah, so I kind of came right after Alfie got traded. Actually, one of my buddies, he was a big Sens fan since he was younger and all that. And I remember just, you know, he was devastated when Alfie obviously got, you know, was shipped out. So I kind of came in at that time and, you know, just kind of started watching. I actually was a Bruins fan, unfortunately, to start off there in 2013 when, you know, Chicago kind of took it to them in game seven and all that. But then I started watching the Sens more and more and really found it was a big fan of them. Funny enough, actually, I actually became a hockey fan because of Chris Neal. So I actually, my friend showed me a couple of his hits. He's like, here, you want to watch a compilation of hockey hits? I was like, yeah, sure. And there was Nealer just, you know, throwing the body and stuff like that. So yeah, then I just started watching hockey, was a big fan of Carl, obviously, and, you know, Stoney as well. So that was pretty much where it started.
So the second season then, if it was right after Alfredson left, would have been the Hamburglar run. Were you just
I was younger as well. So I was very devastated when they lost that, you know, to Montreal. But it was just, you know, just an amazing, like, while we were watching every game with my buddies, just constantly like, okay, are they going to win this game? Are they going to win this game? And they just managed to start winning all these games. And then there he was being up the burger. And I remember Curtis Lazar at that time. That guy was just hilarious. I love that guy. So, yeah, that's where it kind of started for me, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, they can't win their 10th in a row, can they?
Yeah, I was just like, what is going on here? This is amazing. Sign me up for this.
That was awesome. So this one is going to be a little bit tighter because you just became a fan before kind of the glory days of the playoffs. But in 2017, was the Bruins series or the Rangers series? Which one did you prefer?
You know, it's hard to say. I really like the Rangers series. I think the games were just so much more like, you know, we had that Pageau where, you know, he just scores 4 goals out of nowhere. That was amazing. You know, that chicken parm really before the game set in good. But,
two chicken parms.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Both, yeah. And then, you know, just the Kyle Turris game, that was amazing as well. And at that time, actually, I was actually, funny enough, in Qatar. My dad, you know, he was working for a Canadian company there. So I would wake up at like 3 a.m. to catch these games. And I was the only one waking up at 3 a.m. My mom would wake up after. She'd be like, what have you been doing? I'm like, no, I got to catch these games. So I was just sitting there watching the games at that time. I was, you know, I was devastated I couldn't be here because that was the one year I wasn't here. I was in Qatar at that time. And, you know, they went to the playoffs and all that. But I had my cousins and my buddies going to – they actually went to the Rangers game where Pageau actually scored 4 goals. You know, that. So they were really – I was like, sucks to be there. But I was watching, you know, the whole series from there.
Nah, that's commitment right there. And you mentioned that your buddy showed you those Chris Neal highlights and that got you into the game. You must have been pretty fired up when you heard the news that number 25 will no longer be worn by another Ottawa Sender as Chris Neal gets his number retired, eh?
Yeah, that was amazing. I just love to see it. And the videos the Sens put out too on Twitter, I just love that video. It was just unreal, you know. Somebody was cutting onions or something around because, you know, I had a little bit in my eye after that. But that was just, I, you know, as a player for him, like, especially in that, you know, Rangers series when he just came out and took care of that glass guy there.
Yeah.
I think that was just amazing. I don't know why he wasn't playing, but, you know, when he came out there, I just love to see that. That was amazing for me.
I mean, if you hear interviews of him now, I would say Guy Boucher has everything to do why he wasn't playing more in that series. I don't think those two had quite the good.
Yeah. Record. Actually, you know, funny enough, there's a story with Guy Boucher. So I was at the Brick, you know, furniture store out here in Kanata, and I saw him walking and I was like, is that Guy Boucher? I don't know. Let me check my phone. And I was like, that's him. So I went up to him. I said, hi. And, you know, he was nice enough to me. I think that's right after he got fired. So it was kind of awkward. I don't know what to say. Like, you know, but yeah, it was just like, okay, I met the coach of the Sens, and yeah, you know, and I met Chris Neal last year too at a game as well. Nice. So, yeah, you know, it was, yeah, he wasn't a real player.
All right. Well, we got our nostalgia talk in. We got to relive some of the glory days. So let's flip it over to the present team.
No.
First off, I'll start with this. Ibrahim, Ross, and I declared tonight's game a must-win. The Sabres are on a 6-game losing streak, second half of a back-to-back. Craig Anderson will not be playing tonight. It's going to be Eric Comrie. How are you feeling about tonight's game?
I might go to tonight's game. There's a chance.
Okay, nice. Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground might happen. But, yeah, I think it's everything kind of went in their favor. You know, before we were saying Andy's going to play, so it's the same thing going to happen that happened the first game of the season. Now that excuse has gone out the window. I mean, you know, they lost to Vancouver. We also did. But, you know, in saying that, I think this is the game they have to win. I think if you look at all the games they played before, like, you know, I was just talking to Ross right now on Twitter saying, like, you know, I think it was a must-win game since Vancouver came into town. But, you know, yeah, this, I think, is a really must-win game. They need to
win. A really must-win game. Yeah. All right, we're ramping it up. Let's go.
Well, no, because people, and fairly so in the comments, they're like, guys, is every game going to be must-win for the rest of the year? And I get it. But at the same time, we're in that sweet spot right now where the team's 30th out of 32, but two wins, and they're right back in the mix. Trust me, in 5 games from now, if they don't win 3 or 4 of them, they ain't going to be must-win games. They're going to be must-lose games.
And oh, no. Damn things on there. We're not at must-lose season yet. No.
I didn't say yet. I just said this is the most critical must-win territory that the Sens are going to find themselves in this year. Like, 2 games can change everything right now. And tonight even more so, because the team that's coming in next has won 10 games in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to beat Buffalo. And they're the next team ahead of you in the standing. So there's just too much at stake in a game against Buffalo on a Wednesday night in Ottawa with snow falling outside the CTC for the first time. It's a must-win game tonight, Ibrahim. That's all. That's where we're at right now.
A really must-win game, Ross. Don't forget.
Really must-win game, Ross. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so sticking to this team, although obviously the record isn't where we want it to be, there's been a lot of good performances individually from some players. Who's been kind of the biggest surprise for you this season with how they're playing? Positive surprise. Well, that we can do a negative one after, but let's get a little positivity going here.
I want to say it's much, like, it was kind of a surprise, but not much. I think Claude Giroux just came in and he's been unreal. Like, honestly, probably the best signing of the summer, to be honest. You know, he just plays and you can just tell he really wants to be here. The way he's playing just every night, every shift, I feel like he's just been unreal, in my opinion, just around the ice. And, you know, he's also helping Brady a bit right now. You know, Brady's a young captain and he's been here for a long time, Claude Giroux, in the league. So I think just the way he's, you know, also helping the team and, yeah, he's been unreal.
Yeah, he has 9-game point streak for Claude Giroux right now. And among players that switch teams this offseason, top 3 in scoring. Who's somebody that you want to see more from?
You know, Shabbat's injured right now. I was on him a lot. I think he had his best game of the season in Philly. It's unfortunate he got injured there. But, you know, hopefully when he comes back here, I could see a bit more from him. And then also the DeBrincat, I think – I was expecting, you know, after that Philly game, I wasn't able to watch the game against the Islanders, but, you know, I just need a bit more from him as well. You know, he's here to score and just, you know, if he can get a bit, you know, we're saying he's going to get the chances and we've been saying that for a while now. I think it's time to see the results.
Yep. No kidding there. Results. That's something we definitely want to see from this team. Speaking of results, your coaching job usually is tied directly to results. Hasn't been so great in the results and record category for DJ Smith here. These are kind of, the times are in turmoil here with DJ Smith discussions. Either you're fully on hashtag fire DJ, get him out of here, fire him to the moon, it's done. Or people are saying, you know what, the record isn't fully a result of the play. There's injuries, all these kinds of things. Where do you sit on DJ Smith, Ibrahim?
I think, you know, he was okay. I just, you know, obviously at the beginning of this season playing number 22 a lot really got on my nerves. But, you know, 22 is gone now, and I don't know. I think if it keeps playing like this, something has to change. I don't think the trade's there for us. I think everybody knows that the Sens need a defenseman really badly. And, you know, I don't think a trade would be the best thing right now. So, you know, if it keeps playing on like this, I think inevitably something's going to happen, and that might be him, you know, getting fired.
Who would be your choice to replace him?
I heard Claude Julien's in town there, so you know, maybe him. You know, I don't see Troy. It could be Troy Mann, but probably like somebody like that would be a good replacement in my opinion. I don't see Trotz coming here personally. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't think Barry Trotz is going to come to Ottawa, that's for sure. He's obviously the ideal pick, the best free agent coach out there, if you ask me. And look, I'm a big Troy Mann guy, but firing one first-time NHL head coach to replace him with another first-time NHL head coach, I don't think is a solution. I just think it's a lateral change. And sometimes you got to make change for the sake of change, but I don't think that's the scenario that the Ottawa Senators are looking at here. Someone that kind of interests me is Rick Tocchet, because he has that DJ Smith vibe of a player's coach, like guys that you know, will play hard for him. But it seems like he's a bit more of an X's and O's guy, and it seems like he really has a little bit more of a kind of edged mindset than DJ Smith. So I think that's someone that could slide in and replace him. But also, I mean, Rick Tocchet is probably pretty comfortable with his position in TNT, so you'd have to really convince him to leave that. So that's interesting. But I personally am on the patience, Pilsy preaching patience here with the coach. So I'm not on hashtag fire DJ, at least not yet.
And we got breaking news at Sens practice as we're recording right now, 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday. Artem Zub is in a regular contact jersey.
Need that.
Yes, we need that. We desperately need that. So
it can't be understated. Like, Ibrahim, where would you put him in terms of most important defenseman? I'm leading you into this because you said, yeah, you wanted more from Shabbat. Like, are you putting Zub right up there?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I just love the guy anyways. But yeah, I think, like, honestly, he's our best, you know, defensive defenseman. And when you lose someone like that, you know, we have a thin lineup back there. So I think, you know, losing him was just devastating, and you can just see how bad it is for, and when Sanderson, who hasn't even played like what, 20 games, is your number one defenseman.
Playing 25 minutes a night. Like,
geez. Yeah, it's just like, you know, that's, you don't want to see that. I mean, yeah, obviously he's unreal. I love to see that. But at the same time, you want to have, like, you know, a veteran defenseman, and you know, Zub is kind of our best defensive defenseman right now.
Well, Zub is on the outside looking in still. His line rushes have now been tweeted out. Ibrahim, let's go through these with you then, because there's one major change I want to get to. The middle six is seeing a bit of a shakeup. It's going to be Pinto, Batherson, and Mott, and Brassard, DeBrincat, and Mathieu Joseph. What do you think about that alignment?
It's an interesting lineup. I guess DJ's trying to shake things up there. You know, I've been with Pilsy here on Mathieu Joseph. You know, he hasn't been the best, you know, this season. I'd like to see more from him. And you know, Derek Brassard, I was a big fan when they signed. I was like, yeah, you know, I know Meth has been preaching about him a lot, so but to be honest, he was all right, but you know, I'm kind of losing patience with him. But you know, just shake things up, I guess. I'm not a big fan of it per se, but yeah
at least it's something different.
Yeah,
you can't just trot out the exact same lineup game after game when you lose 8 out of 9. And I know injuries are a factor, but every team's dealing with them. That's why I don't think it's fair to really, you know, feel bad for yourselves and fold the tent when guys go down. You need others to step up. Right after we finish this segment, Pilsy and I are going to give our locked on and lookout players, but you might have boots on the ground. Ibrahim, who are you locked on to for tonight's game?
I'm going to be locked on to Timmy. You know, he's been really good this season. You know, times at the beginning, I don't think he was, you know, playing at his best, but I'm starting to see, like, I feel like he just needs a little bit of boost right now, and then he's going to explode, and we're going to see just, you know, the Timmy that we saw at the back of last season, the back of the last half of the season last year. So I think, you know, when he just skates out there, he's so fast. Like, in real time, I just sit there and I'm like, okay, where did he go now? Like, you know, trouble. So I think I'm locked onto him this game. I think I'm
waiting to see. I like that. And I just pulled it up. I didn't realize he has 4 multi-point games in his last 6.
Yeah. Wow. Timmy's quietly been pretty solid.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That's, he's also got 6 multi-point games on the season in 15 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that stat. Awesome. Ross put out there. You know, he was it the first 100-point player since 2019? That's unreal. I love to see that. So
yeah,
he's been really good.
Yeah, Jack Hughes has it, but nobody else from 2019, 2020, 2021, any draft class from the year before him even. Super impressive start to Timmy. Pills, you got a final question for Ibrahim?
Yeah, I do. So I'm not sure what your jersey collection looks like right now, Ibrahim, but if you're picking a jersey, who is the player you're going to get and what style of jersey are you going to get? What's the combo, player and color here?
Well, you know, I got to do the Zoob jersey, man. I just love
it. Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd probably just do the home jersey. I really like just, you know, how it is. It's really, really clean. I really liked when they got it back last year, you know, so I really love that jersey. I think that's what I would go with.
Nice. All right. I like that. That's all. And which one? Did you like the reverse retro? Do you like the black, the white, or are you going with one of the old ones?
I think I like the black. I wasn't the biggest fan of the reverse this year. I think it's all right. It's definitely better than some of the other ones I've seen. But yeah, I'd probably just get the regular home jersey, the black one.
Yeah, black is safe, especially you know, when you want to be at the CTC among 19,000 of your best friends. You want to rock with the players are rocking on the ice, eh?
100%, yeah.
All right, Ibrahim, we appreciate you jumping on with us. It's @_SensFan24. Coming in last minute, we appreciate you, and we look forward. We'll do this again down the road. All right, brother?
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys. Keep it up. Keep up the great work.
All right, you're locked on, Senators. Thank you to Ibrahim for joining us as this week's Sense Central Citizen on short notice, nonetheless. So we appreciate him.
Absolute beauty.
And maybe he'll have boots on the ground. Make sure you're sending in your boots on the ground pictures at Sense Central and at Laleem's Martian. Martian will give you a score out of 10. How good is that? This is taking on a life of its own.
I mean, it's so good. Martian is an expert when it comes to boots on the ground. So beware. He's not going to toss you a nice 10 out of 10 just to be friendly. If your feet aren't firmly planted, if your camera... Ross learned the hard way. The camera angle matters. He's not just going to toss out 10 out of 10s here. So make sure you guys are coming correct when you got your boots on the ground pick for Laleem's Martian.
Oh my goodness. That's awesome. But we will get into that more as needed, because I'm still a little upset at what I got. When it comes to my score at the North Dakota game. But tonight's game at home, and make sure you're there in time for that first TV timeout, because even though Craig Anderson isn't playing, I'm sure they'll do some sort of tribute, as this will be the first time. He was hurt last year, so this will be the first time that we get to really acknowledge his presence in Ottawa after leaving a 10-year career here behind. Still kicking, though, man. Still kicking out in Buffalo. The oldest player in the NHL. Let's take a look at those Buffalo Sabres. Pills, you want to run through their lines?
All right, here we go. We got Skinner with Thompson and Tuck, Hinostroza with Cousins and Paterka, Mittelstadt with Krebs and Olofsson, Asplund with Sheehan and Gergensens, and on defense, they're stacking it up here. Owen Power with Rasmus Dahlin, Bryson with Joki Haru, Pilot with Lobushkin, and starting goalie, Eric Comrie.
All right. Well, there you have it. That's the Buffalo Sabres. Who are you looking out for this team that's 7-9 on the season, but only 3-7 in their last 10 games? And as you mentioned, on a 6-game losing streak.
Yep. I'm looking out for JJ Paterka, the other German, as we all love Timmy Stützle. And we had our fingers crossed that they would go with JJ Paterka, one of his buddies, but the Buffalo Sabres end up drafting him. And if you remember, in the home opener, he scored a beauty goal, a give and go with Cousins. So I'm going to be looking out for him, because he is a talented player that I think, give him a couple years of experience growing with this core in Buffalo, he's going to pop off. He's going to be a great offensive weapon for them.
These Buffalo Sabres, they had to go and make themselves so likable.
I know.
Why, you ask? Well, on Sunday, the NHL posted a video about Daniel Alfredsson going into the Hockey Hall of Fame, where they had different players from around the league chime in on what Daniel Alfredsson, his name means to them. And Rasmus Dahlin, I think, was the most in love or in awe, saying he was one of his idols. So I love that for Rasmus Dahlin. And then Victor Olofsson was also in the video talking about how Alfie's competitiveness was something that he always admired as well. So maybe you'll have those guys catching, looking up at the number 11 in the rafters in Ottawa. But in all seriousness, I got to take a guy who, if you're going to the game, you're going to notice him. All 6 foot six of them. Tage Thompson is my lookout player, leading the team in scoring after he was such a low, easy hanging fruit for analytics guys to jump on. Oh, he got this huge ticket. He's only had one good season. Well, that one good season included 38 goals in 70 games, and it took him a while to get going. There's no doubt about that. When we talked to Joe DiBiase of Locked On Sabres, he's like, yeah, he only scored eight. Get this, Pilsy. This includes his first year in St. Louis. Tage Thompson was a part of the Ryan O'Reilly trade.
Yep.
Tage Thompson had 18 goals in his first 145 NHL games. He had 38 last year.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, he was buried on that Blues team, and he was a guy that when they had Kyrou and Thomas, they were like, we can't afford to keep all these guys. So he was the disposable one, and the Buffalo Sabres were pretty stoked about that.
Well, he's picking up right where he left off last year. He leads the team with 21 points in 16 games, and he's just a guy that big should not have hands like he has. He is what Sens fans wished and hoped that Logan Brown could be.
Yeah, I knew you were going to bring it there, but yes, that is dead on.
It's perfect. Like, the way, and if you watch, there's a compilation on YouTube that you can find with Tage Thompson's every one of his goals last year. I would say out of the 38 goals, at least 25 of them are catch and release. But he just knows how to get himself in the right spot, change the angle of the shot, and not miss. So my lookout player is Tage Thompson. But I also want to give a little stick tap or a little head nod, a little double eyeball emoji. They've got two first overall picks on the same pair.
Yeah.
Dahlin and Power playing together is going to be fun to watch.
I mean, fun to watch, yeah, but I'm going to be nervous every time those guys are on the ice because Rasmus Dahlin is lighting it up this year.
He certainly is. He slowed down a bit, though. This guy was like a top of league scorer. Well,
I mean, when you score, I think he had six straight games to start the season off with a goal as a defenseman, they're probably going to regress a little, yeah.
Yeah, you got to regress to the mean, but still, Rasmus Dahlin is establishing himself as the rightful first overall pick in that draft. Oh. And I say it, but Brady's right there. You know what? Even Andrei Svechnikov, that top three. Oh, wait, yeah. You're saying there's a different guy who went third to Montreal?
Who was that again? Oh, man.
I can't remember.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, huh. Must not be too important, but Brady certainly looks good. And Dahlin, man, 18 points in 15 games. You kidding me with this guy? He's a career minus 68, Pilsy. He had a couple tough years while Buffalo was rebuilding, but 53 points last year, and now he's flipped that around, plus 10 on the season. Yeah. And a lot of his points are coming at even strength as well. So look out for him, averaging 26-24. He is their Thomas Chabot playing back there at 22 years old. All right, let's turn our attention to the Ottawa Senators. I can tell you that Anton Forsberg will get his first start in what feels like a little while. He had the game in New Jersey, but then the last two, right?
Talbot had the last two.
Would have been Talbot, and it's unfair, Forsberg's numbers. Like, he's played better than these numbers show, right? A 360 goals against and an 899 save percentage.
Agreed. That's why when people get on the goalies as part of the problem here in Ottawa, I'm ready to rip my hair out. Like, I cannot believe you would even think to go to the goalies here, because watch the goals. I know we're a goalie-friendly show, but the defense is leaving these guys out to dry.
If people write articles about Sens needing goaltending or that's been a problem, they're box score scouts. Like, honestly, they're not watching how things are breaking down. They're looking at the numbers, and they're not pretty. An 899 save percentage is not good.
Nope.
But there's a lot more that's gone into it than that.
I mean, we can look to the lineup as, Ross, I'll hand it off to you to read the lineup, but we can look to the lineup as reasons why maybe those numbers don't look great.
Losers of eight of their last nine games and the one win coming on a non-LOSP game day, a Saturday. Let's mix it up and let's go backwards. Let's get the D-core out first, and then we'll move up to the forward group. Jake Sanderson coming off his biggest ice time in the NHL, where he played over 25 minutes. He'll be up there with Travis Hamonic, Eric Brandstrom with Jacob Bernard Docker, and Nick Holden with Jacob Larson. Up front, Tim Stützle in between Brady Tkachuk and Claude Giroux, 9-game point streak. Shane Pinto in between Tyler Motte and Drake Batherson. Derek Brassard between Alex DeBrincat and Mathieu Joseph. We spoke about that earlier in the show, the middle six needing to bring it. And then the fourth line, nothing changes. Mark Kastelic, Parker Kelly, and Austin Watson. That leaves Dylan Gambrell and Nikita Zaitsev as scratches. And as you heard in our Send Central Citizen segment, Artem Zub wearing a normal, regular contact jersey at practice. So not ready yet, but hopefully soon. DJ Smith, however, we will finish off by saying everyone's taking warm-up and they will decide afterwards, but this is how the morning skate lines were shown.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it was anything but this. My locked-on player, Matthew Joseph. I mean, one goal all year, and I don't have a lot of excuses for why he's there. Like, he needs to step his play up, and having him on a new line here, I think is really going to boost things, or at least a couple new line mates. So I'm really looking at Matthew Joseph to bump things up here, because he just signed a fairly significant deal. It looked team-friendly at the time, but right now it doesn't look very team-friendly. So let's see a big boost here. Matthew Joseph, my locked-on player.
Dude, six games without a point for Matthew Joseph. The shorthanded goal on a 5-on-3 shorty situation against Tampa is his only point in the last 11 games.
Yep.
He's got one
goal.
Gotta
be better.
On the season, and those two assists each came in the first two home games of the year. So we'll see what he can do. He's been averaging 14-24 per game, but again, we know a lot of that comes in shorthanded situations. I like that for you though, Pilsy, because I think that DeBrincat, I just have a good feeling about Alex DeBrincat, but I'm going to go to the top line, the line that has no issues producing offense for this team. And I might not go where you think I will, but before I give you my locked on player, I just want to remind everyone that I had Claude Giroux over 77 points this year, and he's on pace for 93. Just saying. However, Tim Stützle, who was the locked-on player for our friend Ibrahim, is on a little bit of a heater, and I think it's gone undetected a little bit. 9 points in his last six games for Tim Stützle. So I'm seeing that. It's looking good. However, he still needs to improve a little bit in his own zone. So I'm going to be specifically watching how he breaks out from the defensive zone and how he uses his teammates, because that's been a little bit of an issue. Him trying to overstick handle, do it all himself in the neutral zone, and try to get his own zone exit and zone entry. I want to see him use his teammates a little bit better, and I hope I need that line to produce at least two goals tonight for Ottawa.
Yeah, that would be great. We need some production here. I mean, yeah.
And I've got a challenge for Travis Hamonic. Don't beaver tail ask for the puck when the top line is out there with Jake Sanderson. You should be heels on the blue line at all times, ready to start backpedaling if there's a turnover. That's your role in the O-zone. Let the guys who can handle the puck handle it. We don't need you missing the net and losing possession.
No, we do not need that. Although, hey, Hamonic did have a couple goals recently, so maybe he's feeling like he's got a hot stick. But yes, I definitely agree with that. And go ahead.
I was just going to ask for your key to victory, but finish your point.
Oh, okay. No. Let's go to key to victory, because my point, we're going to wrap the show on it. My key to victory here is, Ross, it was the reason they lost the last game. 1-for-6 on the power play. Simply will not get it done, especially on a team that has a lot of injuries here. And the reason I mentioned this as a key to victory up against the Buffalo Sabres, Ross, is the Buffalo Sabres are 29th in the league in penalty kill percentage, sitting at 71.4%. And if you take a look at that roster, that lineup that we just put up, not a lot of shut down, kind of gritty, grinding guys on that team. So their penalty kill has not been great. Let's get it done here up against the Sabres at home. So key to victory for me is capitalize on the power play.
My key to victory is pretend the game's 40 minutes long. Play with that desperation as though it's 40 minutes long. The Sabres are 5-0-0 when leading after two periods, and the Sens are 0-6-1 when trailing after two periods. So you put that together in a blender. I don't like what the results will show. So pretend it's a 40-minute game and put all your chips in the middle. Don't pull the goalie near the end of the second period, but in all intents and purposes, play with that desperation. My key to victory last game was win the special teams battle. They lose that, they lose the game. I like how you went with the power play, especially on a bad penalty-killing team. I like Eric Comrie, the guy. We did a feature on him for the Jets last year. I really like him, but you need to put pressure on him. because he's not a starting goalie and his numbers show that. So another backup comes into town. They had Varlamov against the Islanders. Here we go with another one. We'll probably get Akira Schmid on Saturday. Yeah. But you need to take advantage when you keep getting disrespected with these backups.
Absolutely. Now, just my final point to wrap the show up here, Ross. It is so awesome to see on Twitter people are getting their Sen Central merch. And damn, I gotta say, Nick Spence posted a couple of the shirts that he was wearing. They look pretty good, if you ask me. Like, those shirts are looking awesome. So if you guys have not already checked out our merch store, go ahead there today. We've got a massive hookup. We've got a beautiful website. Everything's taken care of. Customer service, shipping, it's all taken care of. It's all smooth. And people are starting to get their first orders in. So if you guys are seeing those and thinking, hey, I could use a couple extra shirts for my winter wardrobe, you got to check it out as Ross is pulling it up here on YouTube. Shout out Nick Spence for posting these. And yeah, the stuff looks incredible. And it's not just t-shirts. You got hoodies, long sleeves. There's so much cool stuff that you can check out. And it looks awesome. So just a little reminder that we got a merch store. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. Our boy Pat mixing it up with the Citizen shirt. Hey, yeah. Pat, you can unmirror that photo. Come on. You're too handsome to be mirroring that photo. But no, it looks good. And we're sending some to a few of the Belleville boys as well. So we're looking forward to seeing that rock. Ours is still in the mail. Otherwise, you'll be seeing us rocking that as well. You're also going to be seeing us rocking some new sponsor gear coming up in the next couple of weeks. Really fired up of what's to come here with Locked On Senators. It's a must-win game tonight, though, Pilsy. It's a must-win game for the Ottawa Senators. No excuses. You're playing a beat and battered Sabres team. Yeah, they might be desperate, but you have to have fresh legs. After a 5:30 game on Monday, you've been sitting at home ever since. You've been practicing. Buffalo played Vancouver last night. Got in probably at 2 in the morning as well. So must-win game.
Really must-win game, as Ibrahim said.
And this is our last time saying must win, unless they win, and then maybe later on in the season. But it really feels like if they lose this game in regulation at home,
there's no hope. Yeah, there's not a lot of hope.
Hope is, well, people say eternal. I don't know. Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts is keep those tankathon spinners out of here. Get it out of here. I don't want to see that garbage, Ross. God.
All right, we'll see what the fans want in the postcast, though. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.